rain events that caused a substantial damage to both the public and private property. And as I made my remarks on the House floor very early in session when we did the deficiency bill, I made reference to that there was a larger bill that was coming our way that would address some of these damage totals that were being prepared. And what you'll hear in testimony from the various agencies that are assembled behind me and to my left, your right, today will be the context for making these folks whole from the standpoint of bringing both the public infrastructure projects that are noted in the handouts as well as for remediation of flood disaster assistance as well as erosion control that are in the packet. I will draw your attention, since we have some time, to the spreadsheet. That is an Excel spreadsheet in your packet. I have it colored. You're the beneficiary of black and white. But what that denotes for each one of you as a member of the committee is to identify the specific counties that were affected by the governor's disaster relief proclamation. You can see that it was widespread. You can also see to the right the amounts that have been approved. Candidly, this disaster relief bill has probably been the most vetted, thoroughly vetted disaster bill in the last 30 years from the context that Mr. Kelly will give in short order in terms of how it was prepared. But you can see that we started at the top with Beltrami. Mr. Chair, your county Blue Earth is right up there. You can go down the list and identify the counties that you represent as individual House members and see the effect that those rain events took during the concert of June of 2014. So with that, Mr. Chair, I believe we might have a quorum.
Okay, we do have a quorum. We'll bring the meeting to order of the Public Safety, Crime Prevention, Policy, and Finance Committee and start out with Representative Neuberger. Would you move the minutes for April 14th?
So moved.
Representative Neuberger moves the minutes for April 14th. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, and now the chair will move House File 748 for Representative Albright. And Representative Albright, do you have an amendment?
Mr. Chair, I have an author's amendment. It is the DE1. And I'd like to move that, have someone move that at this time.
Yeah, the chair will move DE1 amendment to House File 748. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And Representative Albright, do you mind if I move the next couple amendments? There's a A1 amendment here in your packet, members, and what I would like to do is incorporate a change into that amendment as follows. We'd like to orally amend Amendment A1 with this language. On page 1, line 6, before from, insert notwithstanding Minnesota statutes section 12A.03 subdivision 3. I'll read that again. Page 1, line 6, before from, insert notwithstanding Minnesota statutes section 12A.03 subdivision 3. I think this will get the bill into the shape the author wants it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, before you this afternoon is the disaster relief bill. If you take a look at the preamble to the bill itself, I think it's more than self-explanatory in terms of the intention of the bill. This is in response to the presidential declaration, major disaster FEMA-4182-DR, which was approved and requested at the governor's desire after his review of the 36 counties that were affected by the rain events of June of 2014. The bill in its content, as is amended now, is reflective of the spreadsheet that I've already made mention of. You also have in your packet some information with relevance to the actual size of the climatological event, total rainfall that occurred. It's fairly dramatic, and I might want to just point it out. It's on the first page. Scott County was literally the epicenter. In the course of about 3 days, we realized a rain of in excess of 10 inches, in some cases almost 14 inches of rain. What that caused for most of the areas in the Serrano Scott, Le Sueur, and other areas is was just devastation to not only the public infrastructure, road beds, rail beds, the beaches, and also the hills surrounding some of the properties in the Scott County. You probably saw it on the news on a number of occasions. And the one difference that I would note with regard to this rain event as relevant to other rain events, much like some would remember the rain disaster event that occurred in Duluth a few years ago. Now, that went over rock, and it was gone. And in Scott County in particular, we had a flood, and it stayed for a really long time. It stayed until almost the beginning of August. And when you've got that amount of rain, not only do you have, even though the water is still, you have a lot of churning and a lot of activity going on underneath, and it was devastating to my community and the communities I serve, but also to the relevance for the 36 counties that were under that disaster declaration. I have with me to testify, Mr. Chair, members, several individuals who are going to speak to that. I would ask that you take their testimony in great consideration for passing this on to the Environment Committee, which is where it's designated. But I'll defer my comments now to Mr. Kelly, who will explain the provisions of the bill and give some context for how it was prepared.
Hey, Mr. Kelly, welcome to the meeting. It seems like you have probably a non-controversial bill here, so if you want to just go ahead and make your comments and keep it rather short, that'd be great. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members, I will do that. My name is Joe Kelly. I'm the Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Management with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. As Representative Albright pointed out, we had a significant disaster last year in the end. Through the rains from the summer, we had 37 counties and three tribal governments that were deemed as eligible for federal disaster assistance. You will recall that at the beginning of this session, one of the first orders of business for the legislature was to pass a disaster relief appropriation for the state match, if you will, to the FEMA disaster relief that the president authorized. That bill was to pay the state share of the repair and of the damages caused by the event to public infrastructure, so for FEMA eligible projects. The bill before you today is for what we call supplemental disaster assistance. It is authorized under Chapter 12A of Minnesota statutes, and simplistically, it's really to help provide assistance for the damages that are not eligible for FEMA, assistance, and for specific mitigation problems, to make sure that as communities repair and rebuild, that they do so in a smart way that allows them to be more resistant to disasters in the future. Typically, in the past, at least over the last 8 years or so since Chapter 12A was passed, when there was a disaster, there was one disaster relief bill passed, oftentimes in special session. And it typically had two articles. One was for the non-federal share, in other words, the state match for FEMA, and the other was for the things that you are contemplating today, the things that are not eligible for FEMA assistance and other special mitigation. Because this was the first time that we had used the new disaster assistance contingency account, and because some of the challenges we had with FEMA, with the completing of the preliminary damage assessments and the designation of all the counties, this process has taken a little bit longer than normal. But as Representative Albright points out, the good news is that this is now, we've had the opportunity to fully vet all of the needs that come from local communities that are included in the bill. The Minnesota Recovers Task Force, which is chaired by the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, has met not less than 8 times to look at the projects and to consider whether other programs are available to provide that disaster relief. Frankly, there is no appropriation for the Department of Public Safety in this bill. Our needs were met at the in the first bill that was appropriation to refill, if you will, to put the necessary monies in the disaster assistance contingency account. This is to provide appropriations to the other agencies that you will hear from here shortly to help deal with those unmet needs that were not covered by the first bill.
Okay. Representative Albright.
Mr. Chair, I have a representative from Bowser that I would like to have testify and just give remarks briefly about their involvement in the compilation of the bill that you have before you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kelly. And, sir, would you give your name and organization and go ahead?
Mr. Chairman, members, my name is Al Kane. I serve as the Chief Engineer for the Board of Water and Soil Resources. And you should have in your packet a spreadsheet that just gives a list of the counties in DR 4182 and funding that's needed for non-federal share for practices on flood-damaged areas, as well as estimated need for riparian flood damage, which is the Reinvest in Minnesota Reserve Conservation Easement Program. Whenever a flood occurs, we will normally ask the soil water conservation districts around the state to provide us estimates of needs for repair of existing conservation practices as well as new conservation practices. These are the types of practices that are not public lands, so we're dealing primarily with private lands and work with federal counterparts, the Natural Resources Conservation Service and the Farm Service Agency. So oftentimes we will partner with them on practices as well. So what you see in front of you are the needs for new conservation practices within the 37 counties of DR 4182. Mr. Kelly indicated that SF1 provided funding for additional public assistance, non-federal match, and it also provided some funding to the Board of Water and Soil Resources for repair of existing conservation practices. So that money has been distributed to the 19 soil water conservation districts that identified damage to existing conservation practices. This funding is then for new conservation practices that are needed because of the flood events. So that first column is a total of 12.6 million, and the second column is focused on riparian lands for which the Reinvest in Minnesota Reserve Conservation Easement Program is a good way to put those lands into permanent conservation that were damaged enough that landowners can't repair them or don't want to try to spend the money to do that. So therefore, we will, if provided funding, also provide opportunity for those lands to come into permanent conservation, permanent cover, if you will. And the total there is for what we've identified as the most critical lands that for which the Reinvest in Minnesota Reserve Program would be applicable. We had estimates that were larger than this, but we've tried to identify or tried to cull those down, if you will, to the most critical lands and recognize that there are ongoing Reinvest in Minnesota Reserve programs that some of these lands may also be eligible for. But this is the most critical needs, and that total is $4.7 million on that sheet. So with that, I will take questions if you have them.
If there's any questions, and I forgot, sorry to answer if there's any questions for Mr. Kelly, but if there are, we can bring him back. But any questions of this witness? If not, thank you, sir. And then Representative Albright, who would you like to hear?
Mr. Chair, I have Mr. Lacasmo with us this morning, and I'm sure he'd be brief in his remarks as well.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lacasmo. Go ahead and give your name and title and begin, sir.
Thank you. Kent Lacasmo, I'm the Director of Capital Investment for DNR. And in Section 4 of this bill deals with natural resources, and on these disasters, using the model in Chapter 12A, 12A12, in this build is two things. The subdivision 2 provides $2.1 million for facility damage, and that work is would be to repair the Blue Mounds Dam and also to repair a bridge in Fort Ridgely Park. So this is typically what happens in the disaster bills, where we get the money through the legislature, and then we do seek federal reimbursement. So the 75% will come back to the state once these projects are completed. The second part of this bill is Subdivision 3, which is flood hazard mitigation grants. So that's money that provides local assistance to deal with the impacts from the flood. It also includes an appropriation to the Prior Lake Spring Lake Watershed District to do the capital improvements on their outlet channel from Prior Lake. So those two items are what comprises the DNR portion of this bill.
You'd be pleased to know I don't have any amendments for Rapidan Dam this year. That's Rapidan Dam is where all your pie came from the other day.
Mr. Chair?
Okay, yes. Representative Rosenthal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the testifier, could you just explain a little bit more about the Prior Lake Outlet Channel and what happened and what is needed?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative. The basically, because of the volume of water, and Prior Lake was a landlocked lake. They put in an outlet a number of years ago, the Watershed District, and it goes through sandy soils on down to the Minnesota River. So they had sustained erosion and sedimentation damages throughout that, and culvert washouts. And Mr. Representative Albright could probably expand on that, but that's what I understand the project would be, to reestablish that outlet channel. And that is a reimbursable project from FEMA also.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, Representative Baldwin.
And Representative, just to give you kind of a mathematical graphic on that, it's a 3-foot pipe that starts the outlet channel, and in context, it's built to withstand about 60 cubic feet per second. When it blew, it was well above 90 feet per cubic second. It just could not hold it, so it basically exploded.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Lockersmall? If not, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Representative Albright, do you have anybody else?
I do, and I'm not sure who wants to go next. I have two more, Mr. Chair, that were on your testifiers list.
Okay, sir, if you want to introduce yourself and your organization, and good begin.
Mr. Chair, I'm Paul Nelson. I'm the Environmental Services Program Manager for Scott County. And as we talked about in June, we had two rainstorms that had totaled more than 14 inches of rain. And as Representative Albright pointed out, in our case, it's a little different than what we've seen in other areas because we're sitting on this glacial material, which is loose sand, gravel, silt, so forth. In some areas of Scott County, as we drop down into the Minnesota River Valley, it drops 200 to 300 feet within very short distances. And so what happened in a lot of it was with that much water, those slopes became unstable and we have lots of landslides. And so that's what you see in the transportation portion of this bill, is that what FEMA covers in terms of the public assistance is what happens within the right-of-way. But so much of this damage occurred on private land and then landslides flowing down onto the roads that unless we get up and repair some of these slides adjacent to the roads, it's just going to keep reoccurring. So we're asking for some assistance for mitigation money to go and be preventive, do some mitigation, get off the right-of-way and prevent some of these things from happening again. The major portion of the transportation is for County Road 60, which you may have seen in the news. We lost a lot of the road due to landslides, and it, to this day, it has not been repaired. It basically follows an old cart path that went down the bluff into the town of Blakely. It was improved a little bit, subsequently paved, became a road. Nowadays, we would not build a road that way. This presents an opportunity to realign that road to a safer alignment. Instead of going down the middle of a very high hogback ridge, we'll come down at lower areas so that the future of that road is much more safe. FEMA covers repair, but not improvement. So that's what we're asking for a little bit of help with. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Nelson. Any questions, Representative Dean?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Nelson, just so I understand, so would this normally be a project, say, for if there wasn't the disaster, would this then be a local roads that you would then submit for local roads through the portion that's county and local funding within the transportation budget?
Mr. Chair and Representative, County Road 60 is not a state aid highway, so we probably would not have submitted that. With this change, though, we will probably change it to be the state aid highway for that area. And it was not on our radar for repair as a whole. We were doing some other things because we were a little worried about the area. So eventually it may have made it away onto our transportation improvement plan, but at the time it was not. And we didn't anticipate, 14 inches of rain is about double the 100-year storm. So
sure.
Representative Dean?
So just to be clear, I believe, and I'm not on transportation. If anyone's on transportation, they can help me out here. I think there was a significant portion of money that was going to be given out to local and counties for road work, and I don't know if that's purely for repair work or if a realignment might be part of that. So I'm just trying to think about what we're doing relative to the disaster from what would be the normal course of action for a county in the given situation. That's not a question, just a comment. Thank you.
Mr. Nelson, do you have any more to add?
No, sir.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, thank you, Mr. Nelson. And anybody else, Mr. Earl?
Mr. Chair, I just have one further, if you will indulge us. Pat Lynch, or excuse me, Diane. Sorry. She can give you context in terms of what the soil water conservation districts are doing in the area.
Okay, good afternoon, ma'am. If you state your name and organization and begin.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Diane Lynch. I'm the district administrator of the Prior Lake Spring Lake Watershed District. And you've already had a little conversation about the Prior Lake outlet. This is a very important way of conveying water from the area down to the Minnesota River. And it took a long time to build it. It was very controversial. There's been a lot of challenges with this flooding event. And we feel that if it weren't for the outlet channel, Prior Lake, which peaked at 5 feet above their normal flood level, it would have been about 7 feet over that. So it would have been devastation. What happened is about 40 houses were threatened with flooding. They sandbagged heavily. Two of them actually did flood, but the rest of them were able to be protected. So we are asking for support to help us make this channel to be the effective channel it was before the flooding. And also there were some culverts that blew out, as was indicated earlier, and we're going to need to fix those as well.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions for Ms. Lynch? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank
and
you.
Then is there Claire Roebling would like to say a few words? I'm going to give your name and organization you represent. Go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm Claire Roebling, and I'm the Communications and Legislative Coordinator for Scott County. And I just wanted to give a little background on the difference, when it was explained pretty well by Mr. Kelly, between the 12A and 12B and how it's been handled in past disasters. And some of you may know I was the Senate Finance Chair in 11 and 12, and we had the Duluth disaster during that time. And it was a very difficult time. It was a big disaster. We had no money. You may remember how we had a $5.2 billion deficit during those years. And so the new fund, this disaster relief fund, kind of evolved out of that because we didn't know where we were going to get the funds we needed to help cover. And we thought if we had something set aside, it would be helpful in case we ever got in another situation like that. But only $3 million was put into that fund, and that was quickly depleted last year as they were trying to match the FEMA funds that were coming in. So then you did the first bill in January, and as Representative Albright said, that there would be another one. And so I hope it's not a surprise to any of you that this is a follow-up one, and I just wanted to talk a little bit about what happened during the Duluth flood. The final appropriation was $159 million, and only $25 million of that was for the state's 25% FEMA match. And so that's a big difference in what's happening in this disaster. We have, the state has spent $20 million, of which $14.5 million was for the FEMA match. So $14.5 million and $25 million. But we are not asking for anywhere near $159 million in this particular disaster. It's an additional $23 million. And so we also have the same thing happen in 2010. There was a disaster that was about $17 million for the FEMA match, and the state put in about $82 million. And then in 2007, there was the flood in southeast Minnesota, and the cost of that disaster relief package for the state was $169 million, and $17 million was for the FEMA match. So as you can see, members, there's been a lot of 12A projects that have occurred in these recent disasters, and that's what we're talking about is the ones that the federal government does not cover. And this is really not a very large request, but I will tell you, I think it's been very thoroughly vetted. We've had almost 11 months now to come up with these numbers, and it was a little slow at first, and we were trying to get it together, but finally this is what we have arrived at, and we're hoping that you'll be supportive. I'll answer any questions if you have them.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, seeing none, thank you much for your testimony. And Representative Albright, any closing comments?
Members,
Representative Quam had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Albright. I notice you are bypassing the 12A in regards. I was wondering if that entity asked for SBA loan or not.
Which part are you talking about, Representative Quam?
Well, I thought you had a 1A amendment that you did an oral.
Yes, that was my amendment.
To it?
It was for the Children's Museum was originally in the bill for $100,000, and in boarding my district and in Representative Considine's district here, and Representative Johnson and Representative Considine wanted that portion in there. They had $100,000 in there, but then they qualified for a loan since then, so then they didn't qualify for the grant. So that's why the language notwithstanding, because the Children's Museum received $75,000 a year less this year in the legacy funds, and it shorted them, and so they really can't afford to pay that loan back if they did qualify for it. So we put the appropriation in here, the original appropriation that used to be in the bill, back into it out of the general fund. So, and we had to have that language about 12A to get around that. Representative Quam.
Yeah, I understand that, but did they actually apply for the SBA loan and take advantage of that, and then we're supplying the funds to pay it back? I'm just trying to understand a little bit more detail there.
No, I don't think they qualify for the loan, yes, but they can't afford the loan, so that's why we put the original $100,000 in here. Representative Dean.
Yeah, I've got a question then a comment. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Representative Albright, the pipe that you mentioned earlier, do you know how long that's been in place without any events?
Without an event such as was occurred
there was
in
damage.
June.
Correct.
Exactly.
Correct.
I think Ms. Lynch can probably give that explanation.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, it was put in place in 1983, and you know there wasn't a flood event like this, right. Certainly.
Okay, so this is where my comment will come in. So that's 30 years. I've only been here a short time, and it seems that every year we're taking up these flood events that are happening throughout the state, and I can't speak for before I was here. Or some of you have been here around a long time. Maybe this is something that's been common every year, but it seems it's becoming more and more a regular sort of practice that we have to look at these, and they generally tend to be water events. And so I don't know if there's something that we need to consider doing as a legislature on either creating a large pool that's going to, you know, fund these, what I would say are these climatic change type events that happen on much more frequency, because we all know that 100-year events now seem to happen about every 4 to 5 years, and 500-year events seems to happen about every 2 to 3 decades. So I'm just throwing this out to us. I know we're not the Environment Committee. I know we're not all these other types of committee. We're public safety. But I think it's something that we all need to start to be cognizant on and how we may need to start moving forward in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Okay, thank you very much. Representative Albright, is that it for the testimony?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes.
Any other comments?
Be appreciative of your support on the bill as amended, and so that we can get these funds out to the communities that we all serve. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Albright. If there are no more questions, the House will renew his motion for House File 748 as amended to pass and move to the Committee on Rules. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, it passes. And members, I think this will be, never say never, but this will probably be our last. I think so. Thanks again to our staff, Mr. Diebel, and our research, Laura Taken-Holtzy, and Brian Rosenblatt, and John Lynch, our fiscal person, and John Lynch. Oh, I just looked at two Lynches here on the paper. I was commenting that two Lynches testifying, so I called it. Sorry about that, John.
Well, at least you didn't call
and my trusty assistants here, Simon Gottlieb and
Simon.
I'm out. Oh, God. Mr. Volu here. I can't say the V word. Dude. All right. Thank you very much, committee. I think we had a good time and got along pretty good, and hopefully we won't be meeting as a committee until next year. Meeting adjourned.